Sean.
Yes, indeed. I'll tell you a quick story, very quick story, since he brought it up. You know, David calls it Junity. And I used to light a Christ candle every week during Advent. And one week, I couldn't get, the wick had melted down into the thing. And so David comes up on the pulpit here to help me. And then he couldn't get it. Another guy named Ed, who called it Chample, he came up. And suddenly Ed's wife hollers out, "How many Jews does it take to light a Christ candle?" Now let's meditate. I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here. Take a breath, everybody. Put your hard hats on. We're going in. Unity, back together in the same room. If you're watching from home, you're in the same room, trust me. So breathe in, breathe up, all the way through. And up at the highest part of my being, I like to affirm that the Christ in me is awake now. Because here, Christ doesn't represent a person. Christ represents my highest consciousness. Christ awakened in me is my memory of God, is my memory of life, is my memory of love, is my memory of health and well-being, is my memory of wealth and harmony. The Christ in me is awake now. And for those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. And so in that wide open memory of our good, the good that is naturally. Keep breathing. Keep breathing all the way through. I live in a consciousness of abundance. Abundant good, abundant life, abundant intelligence, abundant wisdom. I live in a world of abundance because I live a life of abundant good. I live in a world of abundance because I live a life of abundant good. Let's take that thought into the silence. I live a life of abundance because I live in a world of abundant good. Let's go on in and see what gets revealed. I live a life of abundance because I live in a world of abundant good. It's just the way that it is. So imagine every aspect of your being, everything you think about reflects abundant good. The abundant wisdom of God, the abundant peace of God, the abundant prosperity of God, the abundant harmony of God. I live a life of abundance because I live in a world of abundant good. So knowing that thought, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. As we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. So I asked David if he would sing the song today. I originally called it an original song, and then he reminded me all his songs are original. So let's listen to what came through David.
I have tried everything I could, and I don't know which way to go. I have reached, I have run, I have grabbed for the sun, and the answer has still been no. I have given it all I've got, and I've done everything I should. I have worked, I have cried, I have prayed, I have tried, and it hasn't done. Now I'm reaching the end of my rope, and I find myself giving up hope. Cause I'm feeling so empty inside, but there's one thing left that I haven't tried. Give up, give in, it's clear that I just can't win. Let go, don't fight, stop trying to make things right. Everything that I've tried has failed. Every plan that I've had fell through. And there's nothing to give me a reason to live. And there's no more than I can do. So I'm wondering why I'm here. And I'm asking why should I stay in a world that abuses me, batters and bruises me badly. But the answers are not in my mind. When I'm searching there, all that I find is a future that's based on the past that keeps telling me to surrender at last. Give up, give in, it's clear that I just can't win. Let go, don't fight, stop trying to make things right. God, I offer myself to thee. God, if someone is gonna come through, it's gonna be you. God, I give up, I give in. It's clear that I just can't win. I let go, I won't fight. I'm through trying to make things right. If you wanna make things right, then do it, but I won't fight. I give up.
So, have you ever heard this statement, divine love flowing through me? Yes. Has anyone here ever said it?
Yes.
And it doesn't mean, oh, the service is almost over. For years, I have repeated that statement. And then for years, I have led that statement. I'm a little reverby here. I'm sorry to give some notes, but divine love flowing through me. I always want to make sure that when I say that, I have a clue what I'm talking about, and I'm not just a sheep following the leader. That I'm saying it because, oh, this is what we do now, but that I could have a realization of divine love flowing through me, flowing through my thoughts, flowing through my words, flowing through my body and my mind. And so I, when Britt and I were talking about what talk should I do, and it's not, and I thought, oh, how about this title, divine love flowing through me. All the talks really are the same, aren't they? You know, we should try to find a new way to present the message. And the message is, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, and I am loved. That's really what it comes down to. How many of us practice that? I don't know. I've never yet, after a Sunday talk, called anybody at home to say, did you understand that? Are you practicing that? I don't do that. It's none of my business what you do. I just keep coming back and reiterating what I said the week before, or the Sunday before, or the last time I've seen anybody, to help find it in a new way, because that's what I had to do. I had to keep coming back to hear it presented and yet in yet another way so that I would take it in to my conscious mind. You know, my superconscious mind was hearing it every week. My Christ mind, which is the same as the superconscious mind, that was hearing it every week because it already knew it, that aspect of me. It's the conscious mind that gets a little wonky there. And somehow it keeps my conscious mind, tell me if anybody of you identify with this, my conscious mind looks at the world and tells me a story. And then it looks again and tells me to believe that story as if that story was true. And that story is never true. And then if I'm talking to someone, they'll say, well, yeah, but, I say, no, the story is not true. How many of us go within and say, Spirit within me, tell me the truth about this that I'm looking at? And here's how you can know if you're doing it or not. If your story doesn't tell you that you are loved, your story is false. If your story about anything in the world, this is brutal. This is why some people don't come back. If your story tells you that you are somehow less than good, your story is false. Because that good has nothing to do with behavior. That good is the good that is. And if your story tells you that your brother or your sister anywhere is less than good in God, it's not a true story. So don't try to convince yourself that your story is true. It is not. Love is the only reality. And I know we say things like this all the time, and it sounds so nice. But how do I make it a part of my life? How do I make it a part of my regular thinking from moment to moment to moment? How do I make it a part of my practice? How do I make it a part of my word? Because if I make it a part of my word, my goodness, there goes gossip. There goes criticism. There goes condemnation. How can I character assassinate someone if I'm keeping my word in love? And I was like, and the pool. I have been addicted to gossip, anybody? I have been addicted to criticism. Whether it's about someone else or even myself, it's hard to find something here. But if I dig, I can find it. But when I've gotten the message all my years growing up in Unity, growing up, I came here in my 40s, maybe my 30s, I am. Never mind. I am none of your business. I'm eternal is what I am. I am eternally loved and good. Imagine waking up every day to that message. I am eternally loved and good. Let me read something. Used to entering from the other side of the stage here. Okay, this comes from my favorite book, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. And it says, this is from the book of Ephesians. Okay, I'm going to stand over here. I hope I can be lit. It's crazy for me to try to hold that and juggle. And there we go, book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And it says, remember, Holy Spirit is speaking here. I have come to teach you the law by which you live, that you may use the law for your benefit. The law is the law of love. Though it may seem to be used outside of love, it cannot be. That's the veil of illusion. The law of love is used for love and by law without exception. And so the law gives. But the law of love may be used in ignorance. Imagine without the knowledge of love, so that what is given may be misunderstood, because it is not remembered that the law gives as it is asked. The law of love is not separate from you, and it does not rule over you. The law of love is you, and it works through you so that you may never be separate from the love that you are. And over in chapter 3, it says, through Christ, all are bound together. And when we say Christ, remember what I said before, that's not through a person. So consciousness, the highest consciousness. Through Christ, all are bound together, and there is no separateness. This is the law of love. This is what you are. You are inseparable from it. When you think you are thinking alone, you're not. Your thoughts, which are heard by your brothers and your sisters, are answered through them. This is the law of love. And this is why all things are love. Only love exists. Every experience that is given you is unequivocally the gift of love, given in answer to your request for love. Now, here's where we're responsible, where we're accountable for our life experiences. What kind of love am I calling forth? You know, what kind of love are you calling forth when you listen to the news? Oh, I don't watch the news. Okay, well, you're in a conversation where certain things come up. Do you get mad at those negative people? Oh, I can't be around them anymore. They're too negative. They need your love. But here's who else needs your love. You do. You need your love. If you're busy complaining about the negative people in the world, you need your love. They need it too. The world, let's face it, life is one giant prayer request. It's true, isn't it? My goodness, waking up in the morning is a big prayer request. I go and look in the mirror, believe me, that is a prayer request. I brush my teeth hoping they stay in. It is a prayer request. I look in the mirror. I am lovable without hair. Because, you know, we were brought up to think bald people were funny looking. When I was a kid, oh, look at that handsome bald person. No, you didn't hear that. You hear it now because bald is fashionable. All of you, go shave your head. Cheap. The thing, I look in the mirror, and I learned this a lot of years ago. Geez, I started offering this one when we were on 30th Street in classes. And I said, you look in that mirror, and you say, hi, God. It's hard to frown when you're saying, hi, God. You look in that mirror, and when you say, hi, God, there are no flaws. There's nothing wrong with your skin. There's nothing wrong with your hair. There's nothing wrong with your eyes or your mouth or your teeth or your body. There's, hi, God. There is only God looking back at you. This is a wonderful practice you can use. I've had a few over the years who have said, I can't do that. That's sacrilege. Like, no. I am a God being. God is me. In all this loveliness. And I'm okay with it, whatever I weigh at any given moment, whatever my skin looks like, however tan or not tan I am, however it is, this is beauty looking back at me. So once I start my day looking in the mirror, you know, divine love flowing through me in this magnificence, then I can look at this magnificence out here. And say, hi, God, because you're also my mirror. Everyone in the street is my mirror. Whether my first thought is joy or fear when I look at someone on the street, because it happens. You know, I don't like it that I look sometimes at the street and I grip. And I think, oh, this person might hurt me. And again, people say, but Sean, people are hurting each other. And my thought is, let's get on board today with praying for their joy.
Imagine if before you leave your house, you know, once you have acknowledged the God beauty that you are, you start to acknowledge, I am willing that all beings are joy-filled today. Imagine if all beings were joy-filled today. And here's why. Joy-filled people don't hurt other people. I've never seen a happy person hurt someone else. I see fear-based people hurt others. But you see, we're responsible. We've got this great song at the end. You may have heard it. It's called Let There Be Peace on Earth. Everybody heard that song? It's a cool song. But the important lyric is, and let it begin with me. It's like, really? Me? No, it should start with them. It should start with the politicians. It should start with the religious leaders. It should start with this one or that one. No, that's not what the lyric says. And that lyric is a wonderful prayer. Let it begin with me. Because you see, then I'm going to be joy-filled, and I'm not going to be hurting myself, and I'm not going to be hurting other people. And I will begin to see all beings correctly during that walk down the prayer request on whatever street. But to look at it and go, oh, all these beings out here, they are seeking love. Those who have not already accepted it, because we have some co-conspirators in love. I haven't met them all, but I know they're also walking down the street and they want to know love more than they want to know fear. And they want to know peace more than they want to know fear. Now, David sang this wonderful song called I Give Up, I Give In. Imagine, let's give up. Let's give in and over the fear, the need for protection. Because, of Course in Miracles says, if I defend myself, I am attacked. And some of us, you know, we go to Unity on Sunday, but let's say we're hiding during the week. You know, I don't want them to see me get mad on the bus. I hope nobody from Unity is here. Somebody's rude to me walking up the steps of the subway. As we go through our day, rather than love, 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 love. I learned that. That's one of my favorite prayers, the love, 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 love prayer. But I learned that when I started commuting from New York to Connecticut. Because I wasn't driving on highways all the time at that point anymore. And so I got afraid going up 95 or first thing in the morning. And it was like, oh, zoom, 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 zoom. And it scared me. And I needed a prayer rather than, oh God, please make it stop. I don't find that to be an effective prayer. I find that to be a commitment to my fear. I find that to be a commitment to sickness. I find that to be a commitment to poverty and not poverty. I find that to be a commitment. Oh God, please make it stop. No, I need a prayer. And I look, and I kind of want to say, God, 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 that didn't work for me. I thought, what's another word for God? And it was love. That's what popped into my mind. And I thought, God is love. And so I just started, whenever the sensations popped up, I'd say, love, 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 love. And I would continue driving calmly up the highway. I still use it, love, 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 love. Because love is everywhere present within the presence itself. Love, 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 love. Isn't that the coolest thing? It's so simple. And some people think it's silly, but I'm telling you, it's highly effective. Use it at your front door. You know, you go home today and you, at the door to your building or your apartment or whatever, you declare, only love lives in here. Only love lives in here. And then you go in, you go up the elevator, the stairs, whatever, down the hallway. And what I do, because we're Connecticut, we're blessed with a house. And I'll go from room to room some days. Only love lives in this room. And only love lives in this room. And only, because sometimes I get itchy in space, a lot of space. So I have to declare, only love lives in this. And then I look in the mirror after, hi, God, only love lives in this. Only love lives in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And what I want, so I don't want to multiply fear. Because as I just read there, the love will let me multiply what I don't want just as much as it will multiply what I do want. And if you want to see how you multiply love in a way you don't want it, go on Facebook and complain. Look how many responses you get. Look how many people suddenly agree with your misery. They find you out quickly. It pops up on their wall. You know, if you hate any politician, boom, there it is. Let's join in because we think we're smart when we talk about what we don't like. We're not smart for that. Good heavens. Any idiot can get up and complain. Any of us can know what's wrong. Any of us can spot a dirty street and say, look at that dirty street. That's not wisdom. That's just observance and an opinion. Problem comes in. Somebody should clean that street. That's not me. I say we need to see the street differently. We need to bless that street if it is the street that offends us. We need to bless that person if it is the person that offends us. We need to call forth what we want to experience. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive. So I am love itself. Now, am I sharing that love in a super conscious way? Not just with some, but with everybody. I know it's a process. I get it. But really, how much more time are we going to waste in our opinions? How much more time are we going to spend and throw away in misery when we could be at the playground? How much more time are we going to look at each other and find what's wrong instead of finding what's possible, what's light? Wouldn't it be the coolest thing if we saw everybody in light instead of as their personality they're demonstrating? This week, we have a really good friend who has a lot of ADHD, and she becomes annoying with it. And I said to David, she's our friend. She may never change. We have to love her through this. And I was so relieved to see that rather than think, oh, she's so annoying, but I'm going to stay her friend. I don't want my friend to be annoying. I'm deciding she's annoying. She's not annoying unto herself. We have another couple, they have a steady house guest every Sunday. They have a great pool. And this guy, he's normally out of sorts. We'll say he's not always the most polite. But we're over there a lot. And then we say, oh, he's here. And then we leave. Oh, can you believe he's like that? And 2 years ago, I said to David, we're going to be over there a lot. Let's decide to love him. And he changed instantly. We went over there. He was as friendly as I've ever seen him. And we're friends now. And we're friends because we changed our thought about him. We didn't need one thing about him to change. That's what unity taught me early on. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. It doesn't say I have to let it begin with them. Let it begin with me. Even David and I have to do that with each other. You may find this hard to believe. We don't always agree. But we don't have to punish each other or compete with each other to be right. He has his ways about things. I have my ways about things. I pray now, Spirit, show me the truth about this so that I can love him more instead of separating myself from him for fear of him being mad at me because I don't agree with him, because that's where I used to go. I made him my higher power. Oh no, I'm not good enough if David doesn't agree with me. Well, I spent too much time not being good enough. because he didn't agree with a lot about me.
And you know what I did? I started not agreeing with a lot about him. That'll show him. And what it showed us both is dissension and disharmony in our home. And that's not good enough for our home. Our home, if I'm going to get up here and talk about love, I need to be able to talk about it from experience. And so when I'm on the highway and I start love, 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 I'm not mad at the other drivers anymore. And when I go through my home, love, 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 I'm never afraid of my own home anymore. And when I go to work, and here I am, love, 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 I'm not afraid whether you'll like me or not like me. When I go anywhere in my mind, I want to go there with the consciousness of the presence of God, that love, true love, is the only reality. And love, as we know, love isn't always nice, but it's real. And there is a truth to it. And what is truth except that which has no opposite? And I want to experience consciously the love that has no opposite. And the time left that I have in this body, I want to experience genuine love, genuine conscious love, and to realize, oh, I'm practicing love today in a way I like. And I'm practicing love right now in a way that I don't like. The God of my understanding, it's not a person that actually talks. But this is the biblical way of making God into a human being, but it works. Sometimes. To say, oh, I'm so stupid. And then God says, yes, I love you so much. You are stupid. Oh, I'm so ugly. Yes, I love you. You are so ugly. Oh, I'm so poor. Yes, I love you so much. You are poor. Oh, I'm so rich. Yes, I love you. You are so rich. I am blessed in ways that I have not yet recognized. Yes, I love you. You are blessed in ways that you have not yet recognized. And that's the giving up and the giving in. There is no figuring it out anymore. When I mentor someone and they say, I just have to figure this out, I say, no, no, no. It's figured out. You have to accept it. Your good is here. Now let it be revealed. Stop throwing it back. And what the proverbial God's face. As one friend of mine says, you know, pray to God, but row to shore. You know, the old thing, I've sent you a plane and a boat and a dinosaur, whatever, to get you out of there. And we've given everything we need. Will we say yes to it? Will we recognize that I have to pray a lot? And my prayer usually is, Spirit, tell me the truth about this. Spirit, tell me how to see this so that I don't mistake it, so that I wouldn't call it bad when it is actually good. Spirit, show me, show me, show me. And it's not that Spirit is unwilling. It's what I'm really saying when I say, Spirit, show me. What I'm actually saying is, Spirit, I am willing to see. All prayer, true prayer requests is an announcement, a pronouncement to myself and the universe. I am willing to know my good. It's not, oh, please give me. It's, I am willing to know my good, and I'm willing to know it now. And then I have to say, am I? My behaviors will tell me if I'm willing right now. If I declare I live in harmony with all beings, believe me, let me turn on the news and see if I believe that. And it's not that they're not in harmony with me. It's I'm not in harmony. Because I'm not willing to see they're good. I'm not willing to know that they are good and that they could be joy-filled too. It's our responsibility to start insisting that it's okay that all beings are joy-filled. It is our responsibility. None of us knows really how much time we have left in these bodies, walking these streets, driving these highways, flying the sky. None of us really knows for sure. What I do know is I have right now. I'm quite certain I have right now. And what am I going to do with it? I want to read you one more thing here.
This comes from Romans chapter 4. And it says, O holy child of God, there is one thing that you must know. You are loved. You are deeply and truly eternally treasured and loved. This love that has extended you from God and through God is not extended for what you do. That means we don't have to earn our love. Therefore, this love cannot be stopped because of what you do not. God's love extended to you is eternal because God's love extended through you is extended for what you are. There are no criteria on which this love is dependent. You are, and so you are loved, and this love is eternal. I came to Unity, and I got very excited about this message. I was so relieved, because I had at that point very nearly given up on life and ever having true joy in it. And then I found out, oh, I can have a great life, and all I have to do is change my thinking about it. All I have to do, I have to latch on to what must be true. And so when I heard that God is love, I thought, that makes perfect sense. And when I heard that I am loved and can't not be loved, I thought, that makes perfect sense. And when I heard my neighbor could be loved and could not not be loved, no matter what I think about my neighbor. Because you see, my neighbor doesn't need me to love them in order to be in love. But it helps. So, I invite you to take this time, this day, this now, and each now that follows to be very excited at the possibility of remembering all the time of who and what you actually are and what all of us actually is. Now, I'm going to sing an original David Friedman song. It's one you've heard before, but I like it. And it sums up my thinking. It's like all of us, what do you want to do? How do you want to live? How do you want to think? Because now is the time. So let's go. Never thought that there could be a love like yours and mine. I never dreamed that I would see the day that I would find a love that feels so right. But here we are tonight, and now the only thing we really need is time. We live on borrowed time. No one can be sure when the loan will finally come due. But I'm loving all of mine. I know what time is for. I borrowed it so I could spend it all right here with you. There was a time when I believed that life held guarantees. There was a time when I was sure my future was secure. But life had other plans. The future's in God's hands. And knowing that has let me live and love you more. We live on borrowed time. Yesterday is past. Tomorrow seems a million miles away. I promise you that I'm gonna make love last by living every moment, every hour, every day. Now we may have a year, and we may have a lifetime. No one can be certain what the future will allow, but you and I are here, and this time is the right time.
that I know is that we have each other now. Live on borrowed time. Let's celebrate and sing as we walk bravely into the unknown. Cause we're gonna be just fine. Whatever life may bring, we'll face it all together and we'll never be alone. We may not have forever, but our time will be our own. See you in church.
Thank you.